The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, it's verses 25 to 40. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. I know many of you are expecting Rod McNeil to be preaching this morning, but Rod's had to travel to Melbourne for a family matter. So I've jumped in and will be preaching this morning for you. So just a question. How was Christmas? Fantastic. Good. I trust you had a wonderful time gathering with family and with friends. You know, when we think about preparations for Christmas, they're fairly extensive for many people. There are those who are the early birds who like to get their Christmas tree up by November. Who's in that boat? Anyone here? There's some, yeah, yeah. I know some people that insist it has to be up in November. And then there's often the Christmas tree, and then there's the house decorations, and from the house decorations often overflows to the house yard, and we've been blessed driving around the city and seeing incredible Christmas lights across our city and region. It's beautiful. And then, of course, there's all the other preparations for Christmas. There's the present buying, the present wrapping, the putting the presents under the tree. There's the food buying, the food preparation, setting the table set so that on Christmas Day we can gather, we can share presents with one another, and we can share food with one another. So by the time the celebrations are had, the presents are given and received, and stomachs are full, is Christmas over? Well, if we think about Rangeville as a church, you know, we started our Christmas back in November as well. We started with a series called God's Gift of Christmas, and we've been looking at God's gift. We started by looking at God's gift to Mary and her response in terms of how she responded back to God. We then looked at Joseph. We looked at the shepherds. We looked at Elizabeth and Zechariah. We looked at the Magi on Christmas Day. We looked at the birth of Jesus. And today we look at Simeon and Anna. Now, have you ever been to an after party? You know, the party you have after the party? So, like, you know, students in year 12, they have their formal, and then they have the party after the formal. Or some people have a wedding, and then after the wedding the next day, they have an after party over breakfast. Some people might think of Christmas Day as the main event, as the major party, the birthday party for Jesus. And then they think of Simeon and Anna as sort of like the lame after party that's sort of tacked on at the end. Today, we're going to look at the life of Simeon and Anna and see that they are actually an integral part of the Christmas story. They are also an aspect of God's gift of Christmas to them, but also their gift back to God. And they're going to give us a perspective that's really important to us here at Rangeville. Now, what I mean by that is I often talk about Rangeville as being a church that's grounded in the Word of God. You know, we truly value the Word of God. We want to understand the context in which it was written. We want to understand its context for today. We want to learn how we may apply it for our lives today. But the risk is that if we put such a strong emphasis on the word in a way that becomes unbalanced, it can become legalistic, it can become ritually righteous, and that can be dangerous. To avoid that, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit. But the risk is if you focus just on the Spirit, then it can be a case of living by just experience. Or by emotionalism, looking for one spiritual high after another, one spiritual encounter after another. So to balance this, you need to be grounded in the Word of God and filled, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's both and. And so Simeon and Anna show us really well how to do this. I want you to take a moment and think about the most important or significant moment or moments in your life. Think about what it was. When did it happen? How come you're able to be there? How come you're able to participate in it? Think about that. Who else was with you? Who else got to share in that moment? And as I look around, for some of you, you're almost sort of frowning a bit, you know. Must have been really serious. For some of you, I can actually see smiles on your faces. And for some of you, you know, as you start to think about it, your heart rate starts to go up. You start to feel a response to the significance of that moment. See, what we're doing is we're looking back at things that were really important to you, that were significant in your life. Now what I want you to do is to look forward. I want you to look forward and ask yourself the question, what is it that I'm anticipating? What is it that I'm looking forward to? What goal am I aspiring to? You know, there's more in life. There's something else. What is it? What we're going to see today is these situations. If Simeon and Anna, that we're going to look back and see what is it that was a defining aspect of their life. And what is it that they were looking forward to, the promises that they had. See, when we look at Simeon, it starts in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So what this passage is showing us, it implies that Simeon is an old man, that he is living in Jerusalem. It tells us clearly he was righteous and devout. Have you noticed this theme of righteousness has been coming through consistently in the Christmas story? Joseph was described as being faithful to the law, even when it was difficult, even when he wasn't sure what to do about continuing with the marriage or not. It says that he was faithful to the law. We see that Zechariah and Elizabeth are both described as being righteous. And now we see that Simeon is described as righteous and devout. How does someone become righteous and devout? It comes from being faithful to the Word of God. That means reading the Word of God. It means seeking to understand the Word of God. It means trying to apply it, seeking to live by the Word of God. It requires establishing habits, patterns, like reading it regularly, like listening to it regularly, like listening or reading other material that's going to help you understand it. That may be books, that might be devotions, it might be through sermons that you're listening to, it might be through podcasts that you're listening to, that you want to understand it. It means walking in community with others who are people of faith, who you can talk to about it, who are going to encourage you in it, who are going to challenge you when your life is deviating from it. For some younger people, you might look at older people who are here, people of faith. It might be senior saints here in the church. It might be your grandparents. It might be a neighbour. No, someone who you know, who you look at and you go, they're so wise. They're so righteous. And it's tempting to maybe think, well, you know, when I get old, I'm going to be wise and righteous just like them. But don't think age automatically brings wisdom, or that it brings righteousness or devotion to God. Because aging can bring bitterness. Aging can bring cynicism. Aging can bring regrets. What causes that difference? Well, a lot of it's about what you put in your life when you're younger. It's about the patterns for righteousness that you choose, where you seek to live according to the Word of God, where you seek times of prayer, where you seek to walk with others who are going to encourage you and help you to grow. A saying that I find really helpful is, salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. The gift of salvation is a gift of grace from God to you. It is free. However, discipleship, choosing to grow as a Christian, comes with a cost. Cost of time. Time that you choose to prioritize to spend reading the Word of God. The time that you choose to spend in prayer, in fellowship with Christians who are going to hold you accountable and walk with you and encourage you and pray with you. Discipleship can be costly, because sometimes you've actually got to choose to say, I'm not going to do that. And that may actually cause disruption in relationships you have with people. Because you used to do that, but you're saying, I won't do that anymore. That's a cost. Choosing to grow in righteousness involves intentional decisions that you make. Simeon was righteous and devout and was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what's this consolation of Israel? When you console someone, what are you doing? You're comforting them. And so that's what it's actually referring to here for Israel. When we think back through the history of Israel as a nation, they were really formed in Egypt in slavery. And then they went into the promised land, and we read through the book of Judges that they were invaded again and again. We know that they had seasons of great grace and goodness, but we know too that when they walked away from the Lord, they went into exile in Babylon. They came out of exile, but we know that they were continuing to be invaded by other nations. And at the time of Christ, they are under Roman occupation. They're under Roman rule. They are in need of comfort. Not this sort of short-term feel-good comfort. They are looking for an enduring comfort that is promised to them in the Scriptures. A comfort that would come when the promised son of David, the Messiah, would be born, would live among them, and would become king. They were looking for the comfort, the consolation of Israel. This is described in Isaiah 12:1, among other passages. In this one it says, in that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. The consolation of Israel means that the Messiah would be coming to deliver them. And Simeon, who's very familiar with the scriptures, is looking forward to this. Not only is he looking forward from this, he has heard from the Lord that he would not die before this long-awaited for Messiah would come. And he would get to see him. He was looking forward. He was looking forward with expectation. As a righteous man who knew the scriptures, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Messiah. But you see, for Simeon, it wasn't just that he knew the word of God and the prophecies and promises of God. He was also led by the Holy Spirit. As we look at this passage, we see that three times in three verses, Simeon is led, is anointed by, and hearing from, and led by the Holy Spirit. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. See, Simeon knew the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to him. He was familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit, so he lived with this expectation that he would not die until he'd seen the Messiah, because he'd heard it from the Lord. But not only that, it says he was moved by the Spirit. In other words, he physically reacted in response to the Holy Spirit. He physically walked from wherever he was into the temple courts because the Holy Spirit was prompting him and leading him to do so. And isn't it remarkable that he went into the temple courts at the exact time that Mary and Joseph arrived at the temple to dedicate their firstborn son, Jesus, to the Lord? Coincidence? No. I call this God incidence. Absolutely God incidence. The Holy Spirit's prompting Simeon and he responds. I think this is what we should aspire to. That we would both know the Word of God and be listening to the Holy Spirit and being responsive to the Holy Spirit, that we would move as the Holy Spirit leads us to where he wants us to be at just the right time to engage with just the right people. Because we read, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Could you imagine that moment for Simeon? Simeon had heard from the Lord that he'd see the Messiah, and now he takes his child and he's holding this child. The fulfillment of this promise that God's spoken to him. And he's in his arms. This was the day he'd been living for. This was the day that he'd dreamt of, that he was excited about. He'd heard from the Holy Spirit. He'd been prompted to come at this time, to this place, right now, as God promised. And this was unfolding. It was happening in his arms right now. And I encourage you that as you seek to know God's word, and as you seek to hear and respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that you too might have such encounters where you arrive at the right place at the right time to meet with the right people, to engage in the things that God would have for you. Because it's possible for you too. And so Simeon, in response to this, I imagine his heart's just overflowing and he starts to prophesy. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. wasn't Simeon excited? Everything that God had promised to him, he's now holding. Lord, just as you promised, I'm now good to die. Thankfully, he didn't right there and then. But Simeon's declaring that this baby is the salvation of the world for all nations. That this child is a light to the Gentiles, which means that God's salvation will be available to people of all nations. But actually, what Simeon's doing here is quoting from the scriptures. He's familiar with scriptures. He knows the prophecies of the Old Testament. So he's quoting here from Isaiah 62 verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Doesn't that sound like the life of Jesus? The ministry of Jesus, opening the eyes of the blind, setting captives free from prison, releasing those who are in darkness. That's Jesus. But it also says he's a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. This baby who's been born as a Jew, as the fulfillment of the promises in the Hebrew scriptures, would bring salvation to both Jew and Gentile. And as we saw in this series, we saw that the first visitors to Jesus were Jewish. They were the Jewish shepherds that came, and it says they visited the baby Jesus. But the first that who are recorded in scripture as coming to worship the baby Jesus were Gentiles. They were the Magi. And so we see here that Jesus has come for both Jew and Gentile. But Simeon didn't leave his words there. Having spoken over the life of Jesus, he now turns to the parents who are standing there in front of him. And you can imagine, you know, Mary is thinking, he's got my little child. He's holding it. He's just prophesied over it. And now he starts to speak to her. He starts to speak directly to Mary. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now again, Simeon's actually quoting from Isaiah. Isaiah 8, verses 14 and 15. It says, he will be a holy place for both Israel and Judah. He will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Now it says that Simeon's prophecy causes Mary and Joseph to marvel at what's being said about their little boy. And we think back through what might be going through the minds of Mary and Joseph at this time, this visit by the angel Gabriel, the supernatural pregnancy that Mary has experienced, the birth in Bethlehem and the challenge of finding a place to stay in the midst of that, the visitation of the shepherds who've come, and now here they are, they're in the temple. And this man is prophesying to them, quoting these passages from scripture. And, you know, we see this through the images of a nativity scene on a Christmas card. Try and place yourself in the situation of Mary and Joseph standing in front of this aged man, holding their baby, speaking into their lives. This gift of Simeon to them is very real, it's very powerful, but it's also got a dark side to it. What I mean by that is it's heavy. It's hard. Because you see, Simeon declares to Mary that Jesus' destiny was to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. That his life and ministry would lift up and bless those who respond to him in faith. This is what John is saying in the first chapter of John's Gospel in verses 11 and 12. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So Simeon is saying here that there'll be those who will speak against him. But Jesus will lay bare their hearts and their minds, their very thoughts that they have towards him. And here Simeon is actually also talking about the foretelling of the temple that would be destroyed in 70 AD. About judgment that would come against those who've rejected God's purposes for them in that time. That's weighty stuff. But then Simeon gets very personal and speaks directly to Mary. A sword will pierce Mary's heart too. How would you interpret that? And yet, we know that's what happens. Because again, if we look at John's Gospel, when we see Jesus on the cross, he looks down from the cross, and at the foot of the cross is his mum. His mum was there and saw him crucified and die on the cross. Her heart would be pierced. And then as Simeon finishes, we see Anna come up. And Anna starts to speak. And it says, there was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after their marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. But again, what we see is like Simeon is the fruit that comes from her devotion to God. Because in the next part of verse 37, it says, she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. She never left the temple. She wanted to stay there in the presence of God, in that place of worship. But you see, for her, it wasn't going to the temple that mattered. What mattered was that she engaged in worship. She was present and entered into the presence of God. This is a really important point for us as well. Because you see, we can come to church regularly. We can be present. But do we engage? We need to be present and engaged in worship. And in the various and many expressions of what worship can look like. See, not only was Anna someone who was present, she was present and worshipping. And then it says that she was someone who was fasting and praying. So she was wanting to be in the temple. She was wanting to be worshipping. And she was a woman of prayer and fasting. All of these aspects. You see, her faithfulness, her devotion was rewarded on this day by her too, seeing the Messiah, the Son of God. This first time that the Messiah would come into the temple, she would be there. And she would experience this. In verse 38 it says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna's response to that opportunity, to the gift that's been given to her, that because of her devotion, she gets to see the Messiah, her response has two parts. The first part is she gives thanks. She gives thanks to God. She praised God for the experience that she has. She praises God that salvation will come to the world. She praises God that the scriptures are being fulfilled. And she's there to experience that. Was her first response? To give thanks to God. When God answers your prayers, is your response to worship him, to thank him? And then we see the second part of her response. Her second part of her response is to tell those around about her the significance of what's happening, of what she has just seen and experienced. When you see God at work in your life answering your prayers, what's your response? I love talking with people who tell me that God has answered their prayers. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, people come out the front here when children pray for them and they experience physical healing. Sometimes people come over here and they have people pray for them and God addresses a situation that they're struggling with or a situation that they need prayer for. It might be emotional healing, might be spiritual issues, it might be circumstances, but God has answered their prayer. It might be that you've shared in your life group about a prayer need you have, and the next week you come back and you can share that God's answered your prayer, or next month or next year God's answered your prayer. It might be when you're alone at home and you cry out before God and God answers your prayer. What's your response? This tells us two things. Anna, first of all, praised God. She thanked God for what he had done in answering her prayer, that she had got to see the Messiah. The second thing she did was she told people. She shared testimony. She told people around about her what it was that she had just been part of. And sometimes when I hear people who are saying, yes, God's answered my prayer, and I say, would you be willing to share that? Well, I'm not very good at public speaking. I don't want to get up in front of the church. Or, oh, God's answered lots of other people's prayers too. You know, I don't want to sort of, it's not about me. You're right, it's not about you. The word testimony means to glorify God. And so can I encourage you that where you are seeing God answer prayers, share it with those around you. Because testimony glorifies God. And maybe come and have a chat with me and maybe we can share it with the whole church because that's glorifying God. And then as we continue through this, we've looked at Simeon, we've looked at Anna, and now it finishes with the faithfulness of Joseph and Mary. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong and he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him. See, throughout this series, we have seen the lives of righteous men and women, faithfully living by the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Because we've seen in this that it describes in Scripture that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. It says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and starts to prophesy over Mary. It talks about Zechariah being filled with the Holy Spirit. Today we've seen Simeon has got the Holy Spirit upon him. He has revelation from the Holy Spirit. He moves and acts in response to the Holy Spirit. We need both the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. See, these stories of Simeon and Anna and the characters we've been looking at over the last weeks, and their descriptions to the devotion to God and their righteousness is a challenge for us at every age, regardless of what age you are. And it's really important that we reflect on this as we look back and as we look forward. And today's a good day to do that. It's the last Sunday of 2024 as we look back and as we look forward to what 2025 and beyond holds in store. And so let's take a moment and look at this in different age groups to the young people in our church. Ask the question, are you on track to becoming righteous and devout? In other words, are you choosing to put time aside that you would spend reading the Word of God or listening to it? Are you choosing to spend time in prayer? Are you choosing to have people in your life who can speak into your life, friends who can encourage you, parents or grandparents or others in your life who are mature in faith, who might be able to mentor you, encourage you to regularly be part of our church family? These are the things that will help you grow to be righteous and devout. Establish these patterns early in your life. To those, I think the expression we use today is middle age. What is that? How do you define middle age? They say 50 is the new 40. So I think we should go with that. To the middle aged, are your purposes in life being fulfilled? How's your journey so far? As you look back, are you seeing where God's been at work in your life and you give thanks for that and you're sharing testimony of that? Are there things that you're looking forward to? Is there a need to correct the direction a little bit, to reorient, to reinforce patterns that maybe have just slipped a bit? Do you need encouragement? Are the purposes that you believe God has for your life, the promises that he's given you, are they being fulfilled? Now, I'm not going to say for the oldies. I'm going to use the term senior saints. To our senior saints, have your life purposes been fulfilled? Or is there more yet? In other words, have there been areas in your life where you've gone, you know what, I've been able to put that behind me through the grace of God and the power of forgiveness. And now I, with that behind me, I know there's so much more still in store. Or you're saying, I thank you, Lord, for the life you've given me. But you know what? There's a saying, you're not done till you're dead. God's always got more. And so look for the more. You see, it's Simeon and Anna are both older people. Anna is 84. We don't know how old Simeon is. But they had things that they were looking forward to. There were things I was still excited about. There was ministry that God still had for them. What ministry has God still got for you who are senior saints? What is it God still placed on your life as a call, as a purpose, as an opportunity to speak into the lives of younger people, to pray for, to intercede, to mentor, encourage, bless? What are the things, the promises that God's still giving you? Maybe for today, maybe for tomorrow. Kylie's Nana was an incredible woman of faith. Very faithful, very devout, incredible woman of prayer. I remember visiting her once. She was 95. And I said to her, Nana, you've got a new TV. She said, yes. I said, that's great. She goes, I paid a little extra and got the 5-year extended warranty. She lived to 102. God's still got things in store for you. Anticipate, look forward. And so as we farewell Christmas 2024, ask, what are the gifts that God's given you this Christmas? I don't mean material gifts. I mean the gifts of God in terms of promises. And what have you got that you're looking forward to in the year ahead and years ahead? What did God say to you today? Let's take a minute and just stop. Say, God, what are you saying to me? And as you reflect on that, ask the question, God, how do you want me to respond? Loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that out of your incredible love for us, you gave us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came as a tiny baby in that town of Bethlehem to earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. We thank you for the lives of those who are in their lives, people like Elizabeth and Zechariah. We thank you, Lord, for people like the shepherds who had that incredible encounter with the angels and came to see the baby. We thank you, Lord, for the Magi who would come, bringing their gifts, which had both material significance and prophetic significance. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation that is available to us today. That we too can put our faith in Jesus Christ and have our lives transformed. That we too can be invited into that relationship with you as a loving Heavenly Father. We become your children. Heavenly Father, we thank you today as we see the gift of Simeon and Anna. We thank you, Lord, for their deep and rich knowledge of Scripture, that they could speak that out prophetically. They could take hold of the promises of that. But, Lord, that they were led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Lord God, may we as individuals and may we as a church continue to seek you by knowing your word, that we'd be able to draw upon it in times of challenge, that scriptures would come to mind, but your Holy Spirit would lead us and comfort and strengthen or direct us. That, Lord, in times of joy, we would turn to the Word of God and sing praises from Scripture and then sing them in the Spirit. That, Father God, we would walk as your children into the promises that you have. And, Lord, for each and every one who's gathered here, who's gathering with us online, we pray, Father God, that they would continue to hear from you. That, Lord, your promises to them would be real, would be taken hold of, would be believed in, will be anticipated, and will be fulfilled. And so, Lord, I just pray your rich blessings now over each and every one in the fullness of who you are that you make available to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.